Welcome to you all, and I'm not saying anything different, I'm not saying anything new. It's Christmas time, it's a little bit B-U-S-Y busy, but we are happy that there's this bloke sitting in the front seat here. Malcolm is back with us for a little longer, and that is, could be 3 months, 4 months, whatever. We can work with that, we can work with that, that'll be good. Want to come forward, Ian, and give me a hand. Advent is a time of preparing for Christmas.
The season of Advent, a time of preparation for Christmas, begins 4 Sundays before Christmas. Each week we light one more candle.
Wait a minute, you're on a different page to me.
You're right.
He's on last week's or the week
before. The Bible. Last week we lit the first candle, the candle of hope.
There he is. Now he's on. Now he's on. That's good. We've practiced this a lot, you can tell. The Bible tells us that when Jesus was born, he was called the Prince of Peace.
As we learn ways of peace and practice making and keeping peace in our homes, in our neighbourhoods and in our world, we are preparing for the coming of the Prince of Peace.
When I asked Ian if he could help us this morning, I said, if it's a deal breaker, you're allowed to light the candle. So he's lighting the candle. You've done that brilliantly. The candle is lit. We sing together. You know the tune, but you won't necessarily know the words. See how we go. Come quickly, Shalom, teach us how to prepare for a gift that compels us with justice to care. Our spirits are restless till sin and war cease. Say together, Jesus, you come to teach us peace. Help us to learn your ways and to walk in your paths of peace and justice. Can I just say that you sang that brilliantly? I was going to go and do it again a couple of times if you didn't, to make you do it better than that, but you were amazing. Thank you. Let's sing together. I am the light of the world. There is no better way to think of how much influence our Lord has, but to talk about light. You walk in here this morning and all the curtains were drawn and things like that, and they were coloured in. Get that joke? Drawn and coloured in. Sorry. The curtains were drawn and it was very dark and gloomy. So you pull them back, open them up. That's I am the light of the world. Let's go.
I am the light of the world. You people come and follow me. If you follow and love, you learn the mystery of what you were meant to do and be. When the song of the angels is still, and
first chorus.
I am the light of the world. You people come and follow me. If you follow and love, you learn mystery of what you were meant to do and be.
You were amazing. Ken's amazing. Sometimes I forget where I'm up to, and he puts the right words up there and I know where I'm up to. That's amazing. Well done. Well done. Would you like to sing something else? Yes, please, Rob, we'd love to. That's good. Comfort, comfort all my people with the comfort of my word. Speak it tender to my people. All your sins are taken away. Let's stand and sing.
Comfort, comfort all my people with the comfort of my word. Speak it tender to my people, all your sins are taken away. Though your tears be rivers running, though your tears be an ocean full, though you cry with the hurt of living, comfort, comfort, every valley shall be lifted, every mountain shall be low, every rough place will be smooth.
Sit down now, take it easy, put your feet up. We've got notices, and it's Christmas time, and there is so much to tell you. So many things. Jackie, could you start us off? Just put your feet up, relax. There's a lot of stuff to take in. I won't give you a test afterwards, don't worry.
This is just something I thought you might like to know.
Yes, we
do. Creative Connection held here every Thursday. We have just been able to give a donation to the Salvation Army. We are paying for 100 people to have a Christmas lunch. So, yeah, I think that's just great. So, yeah, so all the money that our ladies pay every morning to come on that Thursday and have a coffee and chat and do their craft. So, yeah, it's a good effort. Thank you.
Do you notice the order that they, that Jackie said we do, they, people come to have a coffee, to chat and do craft? Craft? Craft is the last thing on the agenda. There are people who come in and they say quite blatantly, I didn't bring my craft today, I just thought I'd come for a chat and a coffee. How good is that? They want to come for that. Okay, another something, another special something. This is from Marge. A few weeks ago, we received a request from a lovely young lady called Mia Hen, who represented the Muslim and Women's Association, asking if we would accept help from them for our pantry 152. On Wednesday, she and two of her friends delivered a boot full of items, including Christmas treats, we expressed our sincere gratitude. However, they left us with a card which is in the foyer offering season's greetings with these words: "Thank you for giving us the chance to add to the festivities, prayers and wishes, Admaya Haha, something, Women's Muslim Women's Association. Mirhen told me she is the Secretary for Interfaith Harmony and hopes there will be further opportunities in the future." That is community, just saying. It's incredible. So another part of our community is Circle of Friends this Tuesday. Don't forget, chat and cuppa. Or is it cuppa and chat? Yeah, I'm not sure. Brewer's got a piano concert, not this week, Tuesday after, the day after our 50th wedding anniversary. Oh, did I mean to say that? No. Can you imagine somebody spending 50 plus years with me, crikey? She's a rock. She's a rock, I tell you. Yeah. Christmas Eve, service is here at 7 o'clock, that's Tuesday the 24th, and then Christmas Day, 9 o'clock. Service in the park, that's after Christmas, Sunday the 29th of December, and in January, Vanessa Kirsting, she's an amazing singer, she'll be here on Sunday the 16th. 19th, I've got 19th, but sometimes my head goes up, down. Season 9 is the 6th, Sunday the 19th. And because it's Christmas, Grant's heading off to be with his family to the US. He's packed his jumper and he hasn't got a beanie. So we're a bit worried about his head. I'm not saying he's getting thin on the hair, but our thoughts and prayers go with Grant and also to anybody else travelling over Christmas. And also because it's the end of year, it's nice to announce that the amazing Sam, ba-da, received two awards at the special night at school this week. One award was for response. Just wait, don't clap yet. One award is for responsibility, and the other one is the Progress Excellence Award. Well done, Sam. And just in case you wanted to see them, he happens to have them here, so that he can do a show and tell later on. Okay, make sure you can. Oh no, he's good. Because he's got progress, excellence and responsibility, so that's all good. Yep. Right, let's sing Give Thanks, because... Oh, sorry.
Can I say something?
You're going to already.
Yes, I am going to say something. excuse me. Thank you for always making me feel welcome. Regardless of when I turn up on this property, I just feel an incredible wave of love. You people are fantastic, and I thank you for that. Rob was not too sure how long I'd be with you. I have no plans on death just yet, but I have another birthday coming up shortly, and while we have this open-ended thing of my time with you, it will be shortened either by the fact that you get a placement for a minister, or I feel that it's time for me to stop. Now, I'm not anticipating that any more than I'm anticipating my death, but I think you need to realise that people tell me, oh, you look pretty good for a 70-year-old, and when I say, well, a couple of weeks' time and I'll be 83, that really makes me feel good. But there will come a time when I will no longer be able or want to continue ministry. I love what I do. I love the preparation. I love the study. I love leading worship. I love pastoral care. But there will come a time, and it may, and who knows when it will be. But thank you so much for having me, tolerating me. And I won't point the finger at anybody in particular, but thanks for giving me a hard time.
And that is part of community too. We'll have to give him a wave of love. I'll give you a wave of love, okay? That's what you could see and feel. Actually, several people at the recent Christmas market made comment about the fact that this place makes them feel good. And these were people who'd walked in off the street. That's incredible, because they're part of our community. Give thanks with a grateful heart. Let's sing.
Let us give thanks in prayer. Almighty God, how can we begin to give thanks for all of the blessings that we enjoy? We try our best. Thank you, Lord. We bring our gifts of thanks, of stewardship, of generosity, and dedication to the mission of Jesus Christ in this community. Receive these gifts, Heavenly Father, and bless them and multiply them to the glory of Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Please be seated. And Adrian, bring us our reading.
Good morning. Our readings this morning are from Luke. First reading is from Luke chapter 1, verses 46 to 55. Mary's song of praise. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour, for he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him from generation to generation. He has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He has put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted those of low degree. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent empty away. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his posterity forever." Our second reading comes from Luke chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. The proclamation of John the Baptist. In the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea, and Herod being tetrarch or governor of Galilee, and his brother Philip, governor of the region of Iturea, and Trachonitis and Lysanias, governors of Abilene, in the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, the son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. And he went into all the region about the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. As it is written in the book of the words of Isaiah the prophet, "The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Every valley shall be filled, and every mountain and hill shall be brought low. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough ways shall be made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. As we continue with our service, David will bring our prayers, try and encapsulate our prayers.
Let's pray. Lord, having set out on our journey across Advent, and as we continue in that journey, mindful of the themes thus far of hope and peace, may we be mindful today and every day of the peace and hope that are ours in and through our Lord and Saviour, Jesus, whose birth we celebrate in a few weeks' time. Lord, we give thanks indeed with grateful hearts, and in our thankfulness, Lord, we pray for your church throughout the world, the church across our nation, the church here at the Vines. May we all be the people of hope and peace that we are destined to be. And here at the Vines, Lord, we give you thanks for all that you are doing in our midst. We thank you particularly, Lord, for the ministry that is Pantry 152. Thank you for the generosity of our Muslim sisters. And we pray that Pantry 152 will continue to grow as we seek to support those in need in the community. And Lord, as we journey, we pray for your wisdom and provision in search for a new minister. Please guide the steps of the Joint Nominating Committee and those who share that search with us. And Lord, we give you thanks for Malcolm and Judy. Thank you that he is willing to step up and serve so beautifully as he does. And we commit his journey to you. And Lord, we pray also for this world. We don't have to look far to find places in the world, Lord, where hope and peace seem to be in short supply. In all places, Lord, where conflicts prevail, may your hope and peace prevail such that wars and strife will cease. Please grant wisdom to those in authority and direct every nation in the way of justice and hope and peace. And we pray, Lord, for those in authority in our nation. Please grant to our leaders your wisdom, Lord, as they govern and direct our nation, that all Australians may honour one another, regardless of creed or colour or faith. Lord, we've sung this morning, every night will have its morning, every pain will have its end. And so we pray, Lord, for those in trouble, sorrow, need, sickness, or any other adversity. And you might like to name now those for whom you are praying and are in need of our prayer. Lord, to all who suffer, please grant courage, healing, a steadfast trust in your love, and surround them, especially at this time, with your hope and peace. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray. Say together, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Please give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, power and glory are yours.
Here's another thing about Christmas that's fantastic. We get to sing Christmas carols. Yeah, love it. Joy to the world. Please stand. Of voices raised together is so much better than just one person on their own. You may sit and listen to what Malcolm has to say, or you can fall asleep. No, don't do that.
Can any of you remember whether Rob has ever been called incorrigible? Just wondered. If you've read the My Little Bit on the Grapevine, I mentioned Ebenezer Scrooge, a character from Charles Dickens. And I also say that I'm not into a deep and depressed mood about Scrooge. But one of the things that Scrooge says when he says, "Bah, humbug," is that he's protesting about the shams of our life. Now, let's get this right. I'm not saying that Christmas is a sham. But how much of what we do and in which we participate at Christmas is a sham? People drive many hundreds of kilometres across our land to see Christmas lights on houses. Now, if you've got Christmas lights on houses, please don't walk out. But the media says to us that some people spend thousands upon thousands of dollars Christmas lighting their homes. I find that rather difficult. Despite the beauty of lights, coloured lights, blinking lights, lights of all sorts of shapes in the night. But you see, Scrooge, out of his grumpiness, was protesting and making a valid protest. The Magnificat, Mary's song, is quite revolutionary if you read it carefully, because it talks about the downfall of the great and the powerful. It talks about the transformation of both the world in which we live and people. And John the Baptist took it a little bit further, and he lost his head over that. But both the Magnificat and John the Baptist's preaching were about revolution, about freedom, about transformation, about let's do things differently for the sake of humanity. There are aspirations way back there to topple the oppressors and liberate Israel. Have you read the papers or watched the news lately? Israel is at a world's crossroads, and it's been there for as long as we can remember, where people have come and gone and taken and robbed and sacked, and Israel has bobbed up again. And Israel is still struggling for its own freedom and its dignity. I don't condone some of its methodology at all. Any more or less than I condone the activities of terrorist groups who bring such enormous pain not only to Israel but to other countries in the world. But it was not just the outsiders who came in, the Roman rulers at the time of Christ. But you know, the temple had its own power brokers and political forces. Do you understand that the church has its own politics and power brokers? Did you say surely or surely not, Rob? That boy.
It wasn't me.
I've done that before. We're going to have to separate you two.
40 years we've been doing that.
Please behave. The word of God came to John in the wilderness, in the desert, in the outback, we would say. And the desert throughout history has never been simply a wasteland, especially a spiritual wasteland. The desert was a place where people went to prepare themselves spiritually, to become available to spiritual movement and nurture in their lives. It's a place of miracles, divine revelations, of pain and complaint, of hope and vision. But wilderness, then and now, was also a dangerous place. We in Australia, who have a great outback, if we haven't travelled the outback, we've only read the media, we know how dangerous the outback can be. How incredibly dangerous. When we left Happy Valley to go to the Northern Territory to work in the outback, there were people from the Happy Valley Church who said to me, "How is Judy going to cope? Won't it be dangerous out there?" They didn't realise that Judy had grown up in a little tin hut with rammed earth floors out near Flinders Chase as a kid, and she's as bushy as they come. But it can be a dangerous place, because it is used by armies and rebels. It is used by terrorists to prepare evil intent and evil action. And so there are popular movements who are excited about the possibility of change who go to the desert. They gather their armies, they have their retreats, not what we'd call spiritual, and they prepare their armies. Prophets have been prepared in the desert. Visionaries have been prepared. The scripture and Josephus, the first century historian, puts both John and Jesus in the desert to prepare them for their ministry, for the revolution that they will lead. The Old Testament prophets stood against the powers. What about church politics? Oh, we don't get involved in politics. Something political was reported this morning. Some Muslim ladies came to our church, to the pantry, and shared their lives and offered a blessing. When Judy and I went to work on Christmas Island with the asylum seekers, we had a delightfully beautiful Christian man used to come and do our annual white ant check, because we lived in a rainforest, which is white ant heaven. And he said to me, "I don't mind if we have asylum seekers, but why can't they just accept Christians?" Which made me feel extremely sad. And I baptised Muslims who said, "We've had enough of our faith. Would you talk to us about Christianity?" And so to be a chaplain in a a place where there are asylum seekers, I was called to be a revolutionary. I was called to be an agent of change for hope and peace, for love and inclusion. But our pantry is a powerful political statement in another way. The political decisions and the decisions of the powerful across the world have affected our cost of living. And for many people in our community and in our country, they are struggling to pay their way. And we are living in a world where we affect the rest of the world and the rest of the world affects us. And it needs a community of faith like ours to say, we will do something about this. We will swim against the tide. We will stand up against. When I was in theological college in the 1960s, there was a movement that came out of people caring for the poor in Chicago. And they tried to develop all sorts of new names to describe the church and to describe God. The movement didn't last terribly long in that form, but they didn't refer to God as God. God was the final up against-ness. Isn't that a delightful mouthful? But you see, for us to make a political statement, we've got to be a part of standing against political powers, financial powers, ideological powers, you name it. And whether we like it or not, every organisation has its politics. And whether it's a church, a school, a sporting club, a service club, we could go on. Put a bunch of people together to do something, and it's not long before the political powers start exerting themselves. Now, the Vine's statement of ministry, to be a vibrant, growing community of faith, to reach out and reflect God's love, connecting others to Christ, is not just a theological statement, it is a political statement. It says we will get involved in this world. We will get involved in this community. We won't stand by and enjoy our spirituality and let the rest of them sort themselves out. We won't do that. In the late 1970s, I had the opportunity to go to a conference in Melbourne. And the speaker of that conference was a Brazilian called Paulo Freire. He was an educator. He worked with the poor and the uneducated. He was part of a movement which some of you may have heard about and even read about. It's called Liberation Theology. Anyone know what I'm talking about? Yes, some do. And Pope John Paul II said to the very strong Catholic communities of South America, where liberation theology emerged, when they use political means, they cease to be theologians. And he came against a lot of opposition from his Catholic community. And he had to change his mind. Catholics rebelled against the Pope and said, "We believe you're wrong." And he agreed. Martin Luther King, wonderful, wonderful Christian man, a wonderful preacher. And the term liberal theology wasn't around and wasn't associated with Martin Luther King, but boy, that's what he did. He made wonderful statements of love, of celebration of faith, like Mary and John the Baptist did, but he also made strong statements which were political, which challenged the core of society, saying there is a better way. There is a better way. And God's way is God's way of love, hope, peace, joy, restoration, forgiveness, reconciliation. Advent is a time when we wait for something that's coming. It's a time of anticipation. What do we expect of Advent? And what do we expect of our church and ourselves at Advent? In our anticipation, in our reflection, in our refocusing, what will be our commitment? And are we prepared to make a commitment that will cost us something? And the cost can be financial, it can be relational. Rob said earlier about the people who come here for coffee, food, and a chat, and then said the relationship over coffee is so important. If we as a church are not changing our relationships with each other and changing relationships with the community around us, and we're only changing ourselves for selfish reasons, we're wasting our time. We're wasting our energy. And we're misrepresenting the Christian faith. Misrepresenting. So, our dear man who kept the white ants away from our property, who said, "Well, I don't mind them bringing in asylum seekers, but can't they bring in Christians?" I spoke to a Muslim friend last Christmas and I said, I need you to help me. What should I say to you at Christmas time?" And she said, "Happy Christmas, the same as I'll say to you." That was beautiful. And I think that's what the ladies were saying who came into the pantry, weren't they? Yeah. Happy Christmas to you and those you love and care for and forgive and support and do all manner of things. Mary sang praises to God, but she had a vision of a transformed world. John came in rocking the boat and also had a vision for a transformed world. What transformation might we be able to bring about by the way we celebrate Christmas this year? Let's pray. Lord, forgive us for the times when we've been Christian complainers, and transform us into creative Christians, bringing hope, peace, joy, love, transformation, forgiveness, reconciliation, food, clothes, and comfort to those whom we are called to serve. Lord, hear our prayer. In Jesus' name, amen.
This last song always amazes me. Look at those words. May the feet of God walk with you, and his hand hold you tight. May the eye of God rest on you, and his ear hear your cry. May the smile of God be for you, and his breath give you life. May the child of God grow in you, and his love bring you home. You don't need to be said once. He's going to speak again. Malcolm, would you like to say something extra?
Judy's grandfather was a Lutheran minister at Freeling for 40 years, and he preached for 40 minutes, had a hymn, and then did the second half.
So, OK, I'll come back and sit back down.
I kid you not. Rob, after we've sung this through,
yep,
and you've got it in your mind, can I suggest that we turn and face each other and sing it to each other?
Okay, we're going to sing it twice then. We were only going to sing it once, but we'll sing it twice.
To say nothing more.
I agree. first one.
May the feet of God walk with you and His hand hold you tight.
Go out and be revolting. I mean, in the nicest possible way.